listening to the Countryside Anywhere podcast. For more information about Countryside Church, including gathering times and location, check out teamcountryside.com. Today's message comes from Pastor James Williams.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. How's it going? Guys doing good? Good. All right. Looking forward to some nicer weather, I think. But we'll take this. This ain't bad, right? Well, we are in this series, this message series called A Great Work, and we're really excited to share this about this incredible event that happened in the Old Testament, as it's recorded there, about a very ordinary man, a very ordinary guy named Nehemiah. That's who we're talking about today, who was open to God's call in his life to do something completely and totally amazing. And I've been looking forward to this personally because we have been talking about Nehemiah in Frontline Men, our men's ministry that meets normally on Monday nights. Now, we're not meeting this next Monday night because we're done with the Nehemiah study that we've been doing. Anyway, so we've been doing this Nehemiah. We've been going chapter to chapter, verse to verse since January. So I have loved everything about this, and I'm excited to be with you today because it's challenged me as not just a man, but as a person and as a leader. But also, more importantly, I think it's challenged us as a group of guys to just hear God's calling and answer that in our lives. And that's what we see over and over and over again for Nehemiah. And it's so incredibly important because I believe that if we truly want a revival in our communities, in this world, in this country, and we want to see that happen, a revival where we can see God's work be done around the world and we can be a part of that, then Nehemiah gives us a great place to start, and it starts with each and every one of us first. And so we see that. And I want to set up this talk by giving you something to reflect on, okay? And then we're going to dive in. We'll be in Nehemiah chapter 2, if you have your Bibles or YouVersion. And if you're online, you can find your notes there. But we'll dive in and hear what God's saying to us very shortly. But here's what I'm going to guess about many of you here on campus and on Countryside Anywhere. I'm going to ask this. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you're probably, there's probably something that you'd like to be a part of in this world. I would guess that you may see a need somewhere, right? You may hear about this need on the radio or see it on the television. Maybe it's on KSLT or The Breeze or something like that, or you may see it in the on the news, or you may hear about it something right here at Countryside here in Spearfish, and you say, wow, I want to be a part of that. Maybe you are here with Countryside Anywhere online, and there may be something in your community, and you say, wow, I want to be a part of that. But it's something that weighs on you. Perhaps it's on the behalf of others, a gap that needs to be filled by somebody who cares. It might be a need that you see, but nobody is meeting it. It might be a group of people that are hurting. It may be someone who has been neglected, and we should get involved and meet those needs. There's probably for many of you what is often called a divine burden. And what does that mean? Something that disturbs you and upsets you on behalf of God. That might be something that moves you in a significant way, something that you care about, that God cares about. Can I tell you something about what burdens you? What it comes to that burden, the burden you bear, often reveals the calling you'll embrace. The burden you bear often reveals the calling you'll embrace. In other words, the thing that tends to poke at you, prod you, make you feel a little uncomfortable about the world that says something's not right here, we've got to get involved, something like that has the distinct ability to drive you into a ministry that God has for you that could make a difference in the lives of so many others. Now, it was several years ago when I attended a men's group on a Tuesday morning, and I remember the conversation I had with my buddy Dan the night before, And he said, hey, did you hear about that men's group? Are you going to go? And I said, nah, brah, that's at 6 a.m. That ain't happening for me. I got things to do. I am sleeping. And then he said something that guys say to each other because we're so tough and we don't want to talk about doing things by ourselves. And he said, I'll go if you go. Ooh, challenge accepted. I will get up at 5:35 a.m. and make my way to the church and be there for men's group. What do you think of that? And so we attended that men's group, that first men's fraternity that had been here for a long time. It had taken a break, and then it was back, and it was taught by a couple of guys, godly men. John and Jack were their names, and they were just amazing teachers. And what happened was I experienced a life change during that moment. And I had already been called into salvation. I already knew Christ. I knew who Jesus was in my life, but I didn't know as a guy how to just like move forward with that. And this men's fraternity moved me forward with that. And so the next year, God had put it on my heart. Get involved. Do something with this. Help out. So I said to the guys, I said, hey, Jack, John, when are you starting men's group again? Because I want to be a part of it. Maybe I could lead 1 week or something like that. What do you think of that? And they said, no, we're done. And I was like, well, you can't be done. There are men everywhere, right? I think. I mean, I know it's Mother's Day, but just imagine a world of men drifting along. And I went into the spiel, and they said, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, no. But here's the deal. God was already doing something amazing. And he called me to be a part of it. I wanted to just join in and see what would happen. And so here we are years later, and Frontline Men is going on Monday nights. And it's been incredible. But this is exactly where some of you are right now at this moment. You may be bothered by something. You see a need. You're leaning into it. Just as I saw a need for guys needing direction and help, you see that need and you can lean into it and you're considering doing something about it. Or maybe you're just in the early part of a great work that's about to begin, but you don't understand it maybe. It's okay. Before we get into it, I want to give you some backstory of the great work we're looking at today. Okay. Yes! That gets me jazzed up. The year is 587 BC, right? Okay, remember from last week, if you saw last week's message with Pastor Mark, if you missed it, it's on teamcountryside.com. You can hear about how King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a very evil king, he led the Babylonian people and attacked Jerusalem, just completely obliterated it. It's in ruins. And here we are, 140 years later after the destruction, and an ordinary, regular, everyday guy named Nehemiah was suddenly brokenhearted for the plight that had fallen on his people in God's city. That's where we sit. And Nehemiah, here's the key. Nehemiah was not a pastor. He was not a priest, nor a prophet. So if you're looking at this and you're like, oh, Nehemiah, he's a prophet, so he wrote that book. Nehemiah was not a prophet. That's so cool to think about for a second. He was a regular dude. He was not a contractor, and he had to go rebuild something. That makes me feel comfortable about some of the projects around my house. All right? He had only about 6 followers on Instagram and not many likes on Facebook. He was just a regular dude. He was an ordinary servant, a cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes. Okay? And one thing he had, though, he had a passion, a God-ordained passion. And we would see what he could do with that. Now, I don't know who this is going to speak to today, here on campus, online, I don't know. But there are some of you that are listening right now, that you don't have a position at the table. You don't feel like you have the voice right now. You don't feel like you've been commissioned in any way from somebody right here in this world. But what you do have is you have a God-given passion. A passion from God about something that matters And that qualifies you to do a great work. If you caught Pastor Mark's message last week, we see that Nehemiah, he's heartbroken over the situation. So the first thing he did, he sat down and he cried. He wept. And the second thing he did, he knelt down to pray. And then the third thing, finally, he stood up to act and said, somebody's got to do something about this. That's where we are today. And so how does he make a difference? How does Nehemiah make a difference in this situation? Well, I have four thoughts on this today, and these four thoughts will be hopefully practical, something for each of us to take home. But what we really would love to have is the Spirit of God empower us to do great work and make a difference in this world. And so the first thing we're going to want to do with this is, number one, we are going to want to seek God faithfully. We're going to want to seek God faithfully. Again and again, we see that Nehemiah goes before God praying and praying and praying. And when did Nehemiah hear the news about his people? We see it in chapter 1, verse 1, in the late autumn, in the month of Kislev. All right, so when is Kislev? I mean, does anybody know? It's not on my calendar. We're making up months now. Come on, what are we doing here? All right, so the month of Kislev is actually somewhere between November and December. It's just crammed right in there, I suppose. A month of 7 days, maybe? I don't know. So you can imagine it's November and December, and then he starts praying, and he prays until we hear in chapter 2, and that's where we are, early the following spring, the month of Nisan. Now, that's pronounced Nisan, because I researched it. I had all kinds of Nissan jokes. Dad jokes for you, Nissan jokes, it was going to be great, you know, things about Nissan cars, all that stuff. But I decided also it's Mother's Day and I would save you from all those bad jokes. Okay, so Nehemiah prays into the month of Nisan, okay? And so 4 to 5 months into the month of Nisan, and I was thinking the other day, actually, if they made a big epic movie about Nehemiah, who would be the best actor that could play him? Liam Neeson. Hey, did you see that movie with Liam Neeson in it? I will find you, and I will put a tool in your hand. That's what I envision him saying. I just want him to say that. Of course, with his Irish accent, because that makes sense. Okay. Okay. Notice for 4 months, though, he's fasting. He's hurting. Nehemiah is fasting. He's hurting. He's praying. He's seeking God. And then we see it continues. Verse 1. Early the following spring, the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. So we're going to stop here for a second. Because why did Nehemiah spend all this time before he came to the king? Why are we hearing about this right now? He spent all this time praying and coming to God and fasting. Because he's asking God to guide his steps carefully. It says he's serving the king wine. As a cupbearer, it's impossible to tell you how tricky of a life this is for somebody. The whole point of being a cupbearer is that you're supposed to remove the burdens from a king. And here's Nehemiah about to just lay a big old burden on top of him. You're supposed to make the king's life easier, not more difficult, not give him more situations to deal with. In fact, you would take bad news and you'd just let it go away before the king found out about it. So you don't want to be the Debbie Downer. And yet here comes Nehemiah. And so he's in a very difficult place, because what we're going to see is that he's wearing his emotions on his tunic. And we all do that. So here we go. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. And 2, I had never before appeared sad in his presence. Never before. He had a perfect record of happiness. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. And the translation here for deeply troubled is that your spirit is troubled. Your spirit is sad, Nehemiah. And Artaxerxes, he knows this. He knows this because he's had this man as his servant for so long. And then Nehemiah says, then I was terrified probably because he could get killed just by being sad in front of the king. You thought your boss was rough? But I replied, long live the king. That's a great answer, by the way. You're in, you know, then you say, long live the king. But then he goes into it. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. What we see next is that the king asked, well, how can I help? That's a pretty noble king, by the way. Not perfect, but he asks. And watch what Nehemiah does again. How many times will we see this throughout this book? If you read through the history of Nehemiah, you will see this again and again and again of Nehemiah's next move with a prayer to the God in heaven. This wasn't a four-day prayer retreat opportunity. He had already had that. This was a man who was walking intimately with God. And now he can just talk to God. And I hope that you'll pray both ways. You should pray with long prayers with God so that in the moment you can send text-like prayers to God. Both are powerful. We've already been talking. We're not catching up on devotion time, God. Now we're walking intimately through this moment. And God, help. God, give me the words. Give me the wisdom. God, direct my steps. Father, show me what to do. Lord, show me what to say. And so I hope you'll remember about prayer that there is nothing too big for our God when it comes to prayer. There's nothing too big for God's power. There's nothing too small for God's heart. It all matters, and he cares about it. If it's a burden to you, take it to God first. Seek God faithfully. It was at that moment when they said, you do it. I said, hey, Dan, we should pray about this, shouldn't we? Because, again, I have to get up earlier to let people into that group, so that doesn't sound fun. But also, men are complex creatures. So, like, here I am, I'm going to lead a men's ministry? What are you, insane? I'm struggling as a dude. I don't know if I'm ready for this. That's not going to work out. But I remember praying and asking God to please just give me wisdom in this time. If this was really something that he wanted us to do, then please open my eyes, open our eyes to what we can do to just max out this opportunity to reach men. Use me in whatever the process is, whichever way he needs. And so you start by seeking God faithfully. For 4 months, Nehemiah fully and faithfully sought after God. And somebody here, somebody online, you have a heart for something. You have a vision for something. If prayer isn't necessary for you to accomplish your vision, you may not be thinking big enough. You want something so big, so full of faith, what you need to do is have the power of God to come through you. What do you do? How do you get the work done? How do you have a great work done and make a difference in people's lives? Number one, you seek God faithfully. And the second thing that we do is we define the vision clearly. For most people, and I'm going to say this, and don't raise your hand because I'm going to raise it for you. For most people, it's not the lack of caring that's your problem. It's a lack of clarity. It's a lack of clarity. For many of us, it's a struggle to define specifically, what am I called to do? Watch this crystal clear clarity from an ordinary man with a vision from God. The king asks, Nehemiah, I see you're upset. What do you want me to do about this? And watch what Nehemiah says to the king in verse 5. He says, I replied, if it pleased the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. One sentence, absolute clarity. What did he say? Please send me to Judah so I can rebuild these walls. Here's what Nehemiah did not do. And maybe you're like me, and this is you, because I've had managers over the years just come out and say what you're going to say. What are you asking for? But Nehemiah doesn't do this. He didn't say, King, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and I've got an Uncle Stan in Jerusalem. He's got three kids. And, my cousin Chloe, she was telling me about how bad it is. She sent me some information about it and used some more big words. And, Wikipedia, I checked it out. It's true. Wikipedia is true. And I'm thinking about King. Maybe I should go down there sometimes and maybe check things out. And I don't know, maybe raise some money and kind of do that. And I don't know. We'll see what happens if we go down there. And, I don't really want to do this cup-bearing thing anymore. I don't think that's a good idea. And you didn't send me a birthday card and you didn't tag me in that photo. So I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. So, but if you just want, I don't know, maybe you want to do that, because I think maybe it's time that I do that. And Chloe said the weather's nice, and Stan said I can stay at his house. So what do you think? You think I can do that? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. And thank goodness he didn't, because that would have been a weird chapter. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? Some of you are going to say, I feel like God's calling me to help children. Help children. Which children? There's children everywhere. Those that don't have homes? Those who come here at Countryside? Where? In your city? In your state? Okay, help children. You got the green light. You're ready to go. Be specific. In your nation, in some other country? In this world, does it need medical? Does it very specifically, what is it specifically that God is calling you to do? Because there are some opportunities here at Countryside. We need help upstairs at Countryside Kids. Our kids ministry could use some volunteers in a number of ways. South Dakota Kids Belong, they have a table, an awesome table out in the atrium. We invite you to take a look at that. And that's got some information for you. Just get involved. Take that step and hear what is going on and just get involved. But define it as clearly as you can. Please send me to Judah so I can rebuild the walls. In a sentence, what is it that God is leading you to do? In a sentence, incredibly clear. You might say, God is leading me to get my family out of debt, completely debt-free except for the mortgage by the year 2022. Is that possible? Yeah. Is it doable? Probably. That's definable? Yes. God is leading me to have a personal conversation about Jesus with every student in my class, not because I want to be weird, but because I want to show them love and grace that Jesus brought me. And before I graduate in 2020-something, those of you who graduated this weekend, you can go around again next time, maybe whenever you re-enroll. God is calling me to donate a combined $100,000 to church ministries by the time I am 50 years old. God is calling me to help teens learn to navigate life and honor God. God is calling me to spread God's word to the parts of the world that don't know about it yet. In a sentence, what is God calling you to do? How do you do a great work? How do we make a difference? We seek God faithfully. We define the vision clearly. Number three, we make plans carefully. A goal without a plan, it's just a wish, man. It's just a dream, church. And this is gonna sting a little bit, but some of us, we're wishing right now. It's time to make a plan. It's time to honor God with what's been given to us and make a plan. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just get organized. Now, I know some thrive in a mess. Don't go into my office. Trust me. But can I tell you something? God's a systematic God. 10 million miles closer to the sun, we don't have the same planet, right? There's an order to everything. There are 7 days a week, every week. Six to eight days a week, that doesn't exist, right? There are 365 days a year. We don't talk about February. That's not part of the deal. But he is a God of order. Nehemiah made his plans very clearly in verse 6. The king, with the queen sitting beside him, Why is the queen mentioned in here? Why? Because the king wears the pants, but we know the queen picks them out. You know that's true. What? You know he's like, yeah, what do you think? You know that's true. Okay, sorry, I had to bring that up. It's in there. Okay, how long will you be gone is what the king asks. When will you return? Okay, when will you return? And notice he didn't say, I don't have a clue. It could take a year. It could take 50. Who knows? I don't know. Chloe said, it's nice every year. Who knows? No, what he says is, after I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. So he was specific about when he was going to be gone. He gave him a specific time, and the king said, okay. Then look what happens. I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. What does he do? He asks for protection. He asks for provision. Because he's not done there. He later on, in other words, he needs protection. He needs help. And then later on in this next verse, he says, and please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. Now, I know there's a shortage of timber, king, and timber prices are way high right now, but hey, help me out, okay? Because I will need it to make... You guys know that timber prices are way high, right? Okay, good. Just want to make sure. I will need to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself, because he needs somewhere to live, right? He's not going to tent it. Okay. So he asks for protection. He asks for provision. He's very, very clear. Hey, I need protection to travel through these dangerous lands. I need provision to build. But he finishes this retelling of what happens with this. And this is so powerful. He says, and the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of who? Yeah, the gracious hand of God was on me. The gracious hand of God was on me. He created a plan and said, hey, this is how I'm going to accomplish it. And you may say, well, I want to create a plan, but I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to come up with a perfect plan. Your plan does not have to be perfect. This is not a perfect plan. It's a well thought out plan, but it's not a perfect plan. I would rather execute a good plan with passion today than wait a year for the perfect plan and lose my passion. And so you know what my plan is all the time, every morning when I wake up? Well, besides don't die. Some people are like, hey, it's don't die. No, here's the plan. I say yes to God. I do the next right thing. And that's what I want to do. When God calls me into something, I say, I'm going to do the next right thing to make that happen. I say yes to God. I say yes to having coffee with somebody in need. I say yes to having a conversation, and I don't get it right all the time. I know I don't get calls every time on time, but I try to work hard at saying yes to God when I'm called. The plan does not have to be perfect. Because one of the things that I want to do also is find out where God is already at work, where a plan is already in place, and I get to be a part of that plan, and I get to be involved and say, yes, I want to do the next right thing. Nehemiah says yes to God, step by step, faithfulness by faithfulness, and it's clear. So what's your plan? Where are you ready to say yes to God? Do you want to start a ministry? That's a big undertaking. Have a meeting with someone that might have done this before or is doing it now. Take a tour. Come with questions. Do more asking and listening than talking. That's the challenge. The time for talking may not be now. Nehemiah wasn't telling the king how to do things. He was asking for help. You've got an idea and want to learn about something? Take an online class. Find a mentor, write a business plan, listen to some podcasts, learn. If you attend online from wherever you are, There is likely something in your community that needs help, a need wherever you are that you can take a step. Just let me know how we can help. Praying, in other ways, let me know. Message me. We seek God faithfully. We define the vision clearly. We make plans carefully. And number four, we will inspire people passionately. We will do this. We will inspire people passionately. I'm going to warn you that what's coming next week for Nehemiah when Pastor Jamie comes here, see, I got the fluffy stuff. Pastor Jamie has to come and talk about all the opposition that Nehemiah goes through. And let me tell you, that is some tough stuff. Nehemiah is going to, he's going to face people who are distracted, they're exhausted, they feel like failures, and we're gonna watch as Nehemiah just again and again steps up and he reaches deep within his soul and remembers that God's gracious hand is on him. And we stand up with the faith that we have. We try to inspire people passionately. Remember, all things are possible through God. Nehemiah will show this unshakable faith through his entire journey. He knows God's promises stand no matter how hard it gets. God will continue to move mountains again and again for this great work to happen. As Nehemiah assesses the damage, he sees how broken down and burnt everything is, how completely obliterated this situation is. But one of the things he also sees is the damaged people. And so he doesn't show up and he says, "Savior, I'm here to build everything, guys. Let's get to work." No, he gets there and under the cover of darkness, it says, he goes around and he assesses the damage. Some of us, we need to do that. We need to assess the damage before we take that step. And he assesses the damage and he looks through everything, and what he sees is, wow, this is a mess. Now, how does he tell the people who are there? Well, then he gathers the nobles and the priests and the city leaders and all these people who he is not. Ordinary guy. All the big wigs, right? That's what we call them, big wigs. I'm not a big wig. Nehemiah. And he gathers them together. And what he says is this in verse 17. "But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Recognize that this is messed up." I love how authentic he is. He names it. There is a problem here. He's not going to sweep this under the rug. He's not going to pretend that it's all hidden. He's saying, you see what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. This thing is a disaster. But then he says this. He says, "Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." He says, come on, everybody. Come on. People who believe in our God, people here in this homeland, people who are of this one true God, can we do this together? You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God who fights for us, who saves us. And Nehemiah says this. He says this. He says, "Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king." Why is that important? Because kings are stubborn. Kings are stubborn people, and they don't care whether something's broken or not. They're not going to fix it for you. But God can get involved. God is with us. God is working. Inspire the people around you to believe that God is at work, and what we're doing is what God is calling us to do. That God never leaves us. He'll never forsake us. He's empowering us. He's going before us, and he's certainly opening doors that we would never have the power to open. Do you believe that? He's giving us favor with the hearts of people. Our God is with us. Inspire people passionately. It was 28 years ago. It was 13 young adults that decided that they were going to follow a God-given dream and do this thing, this church called Countryside. And together with prayers and with faith and with heart and with generosity and with the power of God, they started realizing that God won't fail them. 28 years, inspiring thousands to take a step and to get to know Jesus and follow God with their lives. And there are people here on campus and online who tune in, who come from all walks of life, who feel like they're coming in and they're broken and they're hurting and feeling like the walls are going to just continue to come down around them. And they don't know this God. See, God cares about people who are hurting, who are broken. And we want to see people find the love of Christ. We want to give them the truth that Jesus has for them and have their lives and eternities changed through that. And you know someone who needs to experience God's grace? Invite them. Love them. Let some crazy group of people who are acting out of the unconditional love of Jesus show them grace. Get them into the presence of God. Bring them for a weekend. Bring them to a group study, or invite them to attend online with you. And watch as God's Spirit does something that we don't have the power to do ourselves. Because for many of you who think there's some people that are just too far from the reach of God, listen, there is no person that God's Spirit won't touch and can't get to and bring them in a moment into his love and grace. And if you follow Jesus, you're living proof. So what do you care about? Let it break your heart. Let it break your heart to the point where you just can't keep it to yourself anymore. You want to shout it from the rooftops. Not with anger that turns people away, but with a passion that just draws people in. Look at the way the people responded to Nehemiah. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." And so they began the good work, the great work. We can rebuild. We can revive. We can help save. We can help God save our people. There's no longer disgrace. That's what they're believing in now. So what burdens you? What burdens you? We can empty the foster homes and get kids into good homes. We can instill God's love and truth into kids that show up here. We can help people be free of hurts, habits, and hang-ups on Friday night with Celebrate Recovery. We can save marriages from divorce by teaching the truth of God's goodness and ordering God first in their lives. We can help people heal from what's in your heart. We can believe that and inspire people to do it. And Nehemiah says, "Hey, I told them about the favor of our God and how he moved the great king." And what if what you care about, that burden that you feel, that divine burden that may have this gnawing effect on you, what if that burden, what if it's not an accident, church? What if God trusted you with that burden to do something about it? Nehemiah is an ordinary guy, and we're ordinary people. Back in the summer of 2012, I'd been volunteering here at Countryside, but I was selling ads to make a living, and probably about four other jobs. And I remember somebody, I never thought anything about ministry other than, hey, I just want to help with the creative process of what goes on Sundays. That's all I really want to help with. And then some people, three other guys, they invited me to go to a conference down in Dallas. And I put together what we could. And the church helped a little, and we went. And three guys that were way younger than me, and so I was old man, you know, hanging out with them. And they, I got there and I realized these are a bunch of creatives just like me, and they're all in ministry and like they're doing these amazing things for God. But then there was somebody, there's a speaker there that actually said something that basically flipped my world completely upside down. I'd been following Christ for a few years, but I had no idea what he was calling me into or how I was supposed to go about it or do the next step. And then so I kept holding it within. I kept holding this calling in within me, you know, not knowing when the time was right to take that step. And I heard something that was so inspiring, so scary, so terrifying, so amazing, that it was that moment when you feel like God's got me here in this time to hear these specific words from this ordinary person, and yet God's talking to me in this moment. And so I'm going to share this with you. Todd Henry is the speaker's name, and he's a writer, and he writes several books on creativity. And he was telling the story about meeting with this guy from South Africa, and the guy from South Africa presented him with this question. So now I'm going to pass this question on to you, church. This guy from South Africa said, "Where would you say the most valuable land is in the world? Where would you say it is?" Some may say the diamond mines of Africa, right? Or some may say the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. And judging by the real estate prices around here, I would say Spearfish is quickly getting to the top. That's a joke. It's okay. But hey, this man said no. He said, "The most valuable land sits in the cemetery." And so Todd Henry said, "Well, why is that?" And this is the quote. The man said, "The cemetery, because it is there we find buried the unsurpassable value of businesses that could help people that were never started, of novels or writings that could inspire people to know Jesus more that were never written, and dreams to do God's best in their lives that were never pursued." And so there's an unending list of unanswered calls at a cemetery. That's what lies there. That's where you go to rest with your burdens that you never act on. And so when God trusts you with something, don't hide it. Don't keep it for yourself. Don't save it for later. That's not the point. That's not what God's calling you to do. God's calling you to take a step. When God trusts you with something, act on it. The burden that you bear often reveals the calling that you will embrace. An ordinary person, you don't feel qualified. Maybe you're unprepared. Hey, congratulations. You're just the person that God is willing to use in this journey. He's calling you. He loves to use people like you. So how do we make a difference? How do we do a great work? We seek God faithfully. We define the vision clearly. We make plans carefully. We inspire people passionately, church. And that's going to be how we do this. Step out and do what you can do with God in front of you, with God beside you, with God pushing you from behind, and watch God do more through your step of faith than you would ever have imagined. Pray with me if you will. Father, I ask that you do that in us. You are a faithful God, and you have shown up time and time again in our lives. And maybe there's some people here that they don't even know that yet. They don't know how faithful you can be, but God, I ask that they just come to you and trust you right now. And I pray today, God, that this would not just inspire somebody perhaps, but also equip them to do a great work and to make a difference in this world. We know that it's not about all the works and everything like that, God, but You love to see us reach out and help people in need. Give us the boldness to seek you first. We want to be people of prayer. We know we can check things off a list really easily, but we need to be bathed in the Holy Spirit, so please guide us right now, Lord. Lord, give us the wisdom to come with a plan when we say yes. Open our eyes to where we can say yes, where you may already be at work and in need of a specific person like me. Whatever it is, God, direct us. Help this church, help your church to find our vision clearly. And God, along the way, you will use our faith, our passion to inspire others to make a difference. And so we want to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. Use us, God. Please, Father, use us. We don't want to go to rest with this burden you've given us. Father, we want to live out the calling you have for each of us. Thank you for moving mountains to get us here. And now we ask you to continue to show us your goodness and do it again. We trust you and your promises are true. And we thank you for making us new creations through Jesus Christ. And we want to live for you, Father. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.